This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. With us right now is Mr. Joe McKenzie. As we start off this weekend's program, we're talking to the man who turns candidates into contenders. The name of the website is RippleConnects.com. If you'd like to reach out to Joe McKenzie by telephone, you can at 763-438-1621. Joe McKenzie, hello and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. And we want to talk this week about job sharing arrangements. What is job sharing, Joe McKenzie?
Job sharing is simply when it involves two people in the same position on a part-time basis sharing the responsibilities of a full-time employee would normally fulfill on their own. Does that make sense? So two people sharing one job, same responsibilities, and that is a common, I shouldn't say common, that is a newer arrangement as the baby boomers age in the workplace and employers are trying to retain good talent. Maybe that employee's no longer wanting to work 40, 50 hours a week, and maybe they only want to work half that. They don't want to go completely retired. They love their job, but they want to have better work-life balance. The employer finds a way to retain good talent. That's job sharing. It can get it's a creative way. It's a healthy way to retain people. It's a productive and cost-effective way for employers to keep good talent, to keep the people that may have helped them for several decades that they don't want to lose. So our service today, Freddie, is just bringing the topic of what a job sharing arrangement may look like. And every company is going to be a little different, and some companies may not be open to that. But aren't we doing a service by at least bringing this topic forward today and the potential for this type of conversation had between an employee and an employer?
Absolutely, and that really goes into my next question. So is this something that an employee would bring to their supervisor, their manager, or the owner of the company to speak with them about possibly going to a part-time status in order to share the job?
I think a conversation has to be had sooner or later if you're going to be making a change at some point, right? Retiring or semi-retiring. And it has to take place well in advance of what you're planning to do. Why not be up to speed on what a job sharing arrangement may look like so you can at least mention that, bring that forward? That is all we're doing today. There are some very good sources out there online that you can read about job sharing. If this is the first time someone's ever heard job sharing arrangement, then we've done our job. We may have done the job for an employer who's trying to maintain and retain good people and finding a way to keep someone on staff in this capacity. So that's the service we play today, Freddie. And, I wanted to talk about some of the benefits to both the employee and the employer.
So let's talk about those benefits, Joe McKenzie. Do you want to start with the employee or the employer?
Let's start with the employee. I think one of the biggest benefits of that is greater flexibility in your schedule. What if you want to travel? What if you want to start your own consulting business? What if you want to spend more time with your family or in the community? What a great way to find and you do not want to go 100% retired. What if you love your job? What if you love the impact, your coworkers, what you do? It might be a job sharing arrangement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that flexibility in your own work schedule. Healthier work-life balance. I think that is an incredible benefit. If we can remove some of the stress, if we have an opportunity to do what we've always loved to do at an age that we wanted to do it at, a job sharing arrangement may be that. And being able to collaborate with others. I see that many people that retire lose that collaborative environment and they miss that. This is a great way to maintain a collaborative component in your life. So from an employee's standpoint, if you love your job but you want more work-life balance and you want greater flexibility in your schedule and you love to collaborate on a team, this might be something that you you mention to your employer at some point. You're going to have to mention at some point when you're going to make changes to your employee employment arrangement or situation. So do your own due diligence on this. But, you know, definitely this is something that more and more companies are finding ways to retain good employees. And we'll pivot right there with the employer. Freddie, who doesn't want to keep people that have done well for that organization, or they've enjoyed and they've really found them as a valued employee? Who wouldn't want to find a creative way to keep those employees from an employer's perspective, right?
Right, right. And this is a big win for the employer, too. Perhaps that employee has priced themselves out. Maybe they're at the top of the pay schedule. Going to a part-time status, two things happen. It seems as if the employer would win by not expending as much revenue, maybe a reduced amount of benefits, but they still have that mind share, organizational knowledge that can be transferred to that person who's taking the other 20, 30 hours a week.
Right. You don't lose that person with the organizational knowledge. You don't have to spend a lot of money trying to replace that person, mm-hmm. find that next person, recruitment cost, and just time and effort to find that person, and loss of productivity bringing someone new on. Ultimately, you're able to create a win-win for everybody involved, right?
Mm-hmm. That sounds right. So it also, benefits for the employee, I guess it gives you an opportunity rather than just leaving completely, it gives you a chance to still to make some money?
Yes, absolutely. This might be a source of income for an employee that, along with everything else, those benefits of work-life balance and better work flexibility, income to live, you know, do the things that you still want to do to help, you know, help your community, help your family. There's nothing that is another positive attribute of that arrangement is a source of income, and that's important as we age. You know, nothing. It would be tough to go, you know, have a full time income to nothing, and here you still maintain some of that source.
Very interesting, everyone. We're talking about job sharing arrangements at your employer as you start to transition, or maybe this is just something that speaks more to you. Are there some resources that we can tap into to learn more about this particular topic?
I think any of the well-known career websites will have information. I know some of the more financial, like Forbes, LinkedIn will have a number of articles on job sharing. Do your due diligence on this and what it looks like, and if this is something that could work for you in your situation. Do your own research on this and get out ahead of it. If it's a couple years down the road, then start talking to your employer about this if it's something you want to consider. And even if we brought one listener today to realize that there may be a job sharing arrangement that could be mapped out, then we've done our job today, Freddie.
Wow. Joe McKenzie, really innovative thought. So before we go to a summary, talk about how far out in advance we should be having these kinds of conversations with the employer.
I think it's healthier to have them earlier, sooner than later, because that only helps create a win-win for both the employee and the employer. They might be able to find someone that, if it was a job-sharing arrangement, to fill that other half. There might be an opportunity for you to collaborate with that person before you leave or go transition to that job sharing arrangement sooner than later, sometimes even a couple years before you're planning to do this. Having those conversations with your employer about this so they can start doing their own research on their own. It's not something you want to spring on your employer. And I'm sure an employer doesn't want that sprung on them. So, you know, get out ahead of it a couple of years. If you're planning to do some changes at a certain age, in your retirement age, start talking about it now.
Boy, great advice. Joe McKenzie, we got to leave it right there. And if there's one thing that we'd like to remember this weekend, what would that be?
That there's employers are looking to retain good talent, and employees are still wanting to give back and be a part of something and just looking for better work-life balance, there may be that in a job-sharing arrangement.
That's Joe McKenzie, and you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And our show continues right now.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Today's point of focus is tenacity. Tenacity can serve you pretty well. When you push yourself across the finish line or if you complete a project on time, that's tenacity because it can help you succeed. While tenacity is definitely a good thing, sometimes the race is not yours to run. Some projects are better accomplished by slowing down. Sometimes it's better just to wait for that inspiration rather than to force a solution. The key is knowing when to wait for that guidance, when to wait for the ideas, for that success, and the way to move ahead. True tenacity is really a blend between moving forward and waiting for that great inspiration to come. Our point of focus is tenacity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And joining us this week is the State of Minnesota Vaccine Coordinator, Elizabeth Ebolt. She is no stranger to our show. And in the news these last several days, we've been hearing about the new Omicron variant. What do we know about that variant so far? I know it's been recent. What can you tell us?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Freddie. So I think it's important to remember that since the start of the pandemic, there have been thousands of variants. But when it comes to those of importance, Omicron is number 7. And when it comes to those that have been deemed variants of concern by the World Health Organization, this would be number 5. So remember, we had Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, and then now we have Omicron. So as of November 30th, I think it's also important to remember that there have been no known detected Omicron cases in Minnesota or the U.S., but we in Minnesota have an excellent detection process. So, you know, we would know practically right away when we do have one. So what is there to be worried about Omicron? So it was first detected in South Africa last week. But we should also be clear that although it was detected there, we don't know that it actually originated there. Upon detection, scientists there did something that they called sequencing the variant, which basically means that they look at the virus's genetic code and they saw some things that made them a little nervous. Specifically, what they saw is that the virus had a lot of new mutations, ones that they'd never seen before, which means that it's possible that those new mutations may make it difficult or may make it possible for it to evade our body's immune response. So one thing also to keep in mind is that the virus is always getting new mutations. But what makes Omicron stand out is that it has 50 mutations. More than 30 of them are on the spike protein, which is basically, you can think of it, the most important part of the virus. And 26 of those 30 are brand new. So in comparison, Delta had 10 mutations, Beta had 6 mutations. So that's why just 3 days after being detected, the WHO said, you know what, this is a variant of concern.
So with those levels of mutations, is it more aggressive than Delta, or do we know that yet?
Yes, that's another good question. And basically the one that's, you know, really top of mind. So let's take it back to the mutations. When scientists look at mutations, they're basically going to check for three big things and that, you know, most of us would care about. They're going to check, is it more contagious? Will it make you sicker? Do the vaccines we have protect against it? And so it's really important for us to remember right now that there is still so much to learn about this new variant as it relates to those questions and how well we're protected against it. Although there have been, you know, we've been reading very early signs from South Africa that the variant may be more severe. You know, it's a real underscore on the may. It's still, frankly, too soon to say. But scientists and researchers, they're on it. And almost immediately after detecting this new variant, they began this process of collecting blood from vaccinated people to begin these experiments that will better help them understand how well the vaccines we have and the antibodies in our bodies from them respond to the variant. So we can definitely expect to get more details about this since, you know, all these scientists, researchers, they're working hard to get those answers.
Very interesting. Everyone, we're talking with the state of Minnesota vaccine coordinator, Elizabeth Ebelt. And I'm just curious, how, when we have our test to see if we have the virus with the nasal swabs and the tube spitting and all the rest of it, at what point or where do we find that there is a different variant? Is it through the individual testing when someone goes in for a test, or where does it originate that we find, we've got another variant?
Sure. Well, you know, that is a bit above my pay grade as far as all of the intricacies, but you know, like I said, throughout the process of the pandemic, there have been all sorts of new mutations that show up that scientists, you know, they keep track of, and researchers across the world keep track of these new strains and basically this worldwide database. And so as soon as this new strain was detected from, you know, people catching it and coming in and getting tested, all of that goes through, like I said, a very scientific process that I don't have all the details on, mm-hmm. but it goes into this large database that's then regularly, daily checked by all these scientists across the world. And it was through that process that, oh, wow, this new variant is detected. And, oh, wow, we're seeing it show up in this kind of concentration. And, oh, wow, this is something of concern to us.
Interesting. So the president was on, Joe Biden was on national news the other day talking about this is not a time to panic. It is a time to double down, so to speak, on the basics of protecting ourselves against this particular variant.
And I would 100% agree with that, because at this point, we know that the best defense we have right now are our vaccines. So it's really important that if you have not already, that you need to get vaccinated. You know, we, again, have very preliminary data coming out from places like Israel and showing how vaccinated people infected with Omicron have become only slightly sick. You know, again, there's still much more data that needs to be observed about that. But what we do know is we still have, for example, we still have Delta run around here in Minnesota, across the country. And from that, we know that the people ending up in hospitals, ending up in ventilators, unfortunately losing their lives, are people unvaccinated. And so we want to do, we know what we have to do, and that is to get vaccinated and protect ourselves from 5 years old on up.
What about those who are saying it's time, I'm just mask weary? What do you say to those people who are not wearing their mask in public or even in private settings?
You know, it's so critically important, especially as we just celebrated one holiday. We're moving into a full holiday season here for so many people all the way through the new year. We know, I know it's been a long road, but it only gets longer the more we delay these practices that we know really work. And so it really takes all of us in order to protect ourselves, protect each other from this ever evolving virus, to do those things like wearing a well-fitting mask in your indoor public settings and in crowded outdoor settings. If you have symptoms or have been exposed to COVID-19 or been traveling, you get tested. If you're sick, stay home, wash your hands often, just take care to avoid that those extra exposures that we might have at this time of year. It's just, you know, the bar for participation is just so low. And so we would really encourage you and ask that everyone participate in that way.
Finally, will there be additional testing for the variant now that we understand that Omicron is out there somewhere? Do we expect to have more testing sites or more vaccine available to residents in the state of Minnesota?
So we have really, you know, as like I said, we've been dealing with, and you know, we've been dealing with the Delta variant. And so it was at that point over the last couple of months and just the last couple of weeks that we've actually been expanding our testing locations across the state and also looking into hosting more community vaccination sites as well. And so I imagine that will be sure to continue. We'll have as many and not more access points to testing, and the same with vaccines. So again, you can visit our website at MDH to find testing locations and vaccine locations. They are in abundance.
That's Elizabeth Ebalt. She is the vaccine coordinator for the state of Minnesota, and you're listening to New Beginnings. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guide, simple checklist, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Just a few days ago, the 61st mayor of New Orleans, Mitch Landrieu, said yes to President Joe Biden when he asked him to oversee implementation of the $1 trillion infrastructure plan. And I would imagine, Your Honor, that you're uniquely qualified, having gone through a firestorm a few years ago in 2005, putting back that city.
Yeah, well, you could say that. You know, it's kind of crazy. I was a lieutenant governor when Katrina hit, and then I became the mayor of the city a couple years later than that. We had had Katrina, Rita, Ike, Gustav, the national recession, the BP oil spill. I mean, I felt like a whipped dog. We lost, unfortunately, 1,800 people. 500,000 homes were hurt. 250,000 were destroyed. We had to work together with the federal government and our governor to rebuild the city of New Orleans, which with a lot of help from the people around the country and the people of the city, we were able to do. We didn't fix every problem, but we tried to figure out what worked. And, you know, so I'm very thankful that the president has asked me to help. I'll try to lend whatever, you know, experience, both good and bad, that I have. And I'm very excited about the possibility of what the country has in front of us if we take advantage of what it is that the president has gotten Congress to put into law.
Everyone, we're talking with former New Orleans mayor, the 61st mayor of that city, Mitch Landrieu, who is also the lieutenant governor of the state of Louisiana. He's with us this afternoon, and I'm just curious, Your Honor, how does one become an infrastructure czar?
Well, the first thing you do is you try to rebuild a great American city, and, you know, through a lot of scars, you try to figure out what works and you learn what doesn't work. And then the country tries to do the same thing and they ask you to come help. And, you know, one day you're sitting at home getting ready to go fishing, and the next weekend you're in Washington, D.C. going, I'm really happy to help. So my position is one where the president's asked me to try to help coordinate all of the work that needs to get done between the federal government, the state, and the local government. So, you know, there's a lot that's in the bill that needs to get fixed. So, for example, delivering clean water to all Americans and fixing the problem with our lead service line so that every kid can drink clean water is the priority. Getting high-speed internet and broadband, repairing the roads and the bridges, the public transit that's critically important, getting the airports and the ports and the supply chains working, passenger rail. People know what's in this thing. What's so unique about what the president is asking the country to do is to say, not only are we going to build it back in a way we haven't really thought about for the last 50 years, but we have to build it back better. And of course, the first question is, well, what does better mean? Because you know and I know that not everything is equally distributed in this country. Certain folks get left behind, and that's certainly true in communities of color and the black community. So the president has really imposed on those of us who have a responsibility to making this thing become a reality, which is, by the way, mostly the governors, the mayors, and the tribal leaders in the country, not the federal government itself, to actually look at this differently and to say, listen, if you're going to rebuild the electric vehicle market, if you're going to do broadband, if you're going to do water, if you're going to do resilience, if you're going to fix public transportation, you have to do it through an equity lens. You got to make sure that everybody gets a chance not only at the new and the good jobs, but also the benefits of these investments. And that's what's so exciting about what the president has asked me to help him do. Now, let me just say this, that the country has gotten out of the habit of investing in infrastructure well for the last 50 years. And we all have to get back together across party lines and across racial lines and across geographic lines, because this all really should affect everybody in a similar way. But the president's asked us to make sure that that happens. And so I'm happy to try to help him do that in getting the governors and the mayors and the tribal leaders and the business and the labor community together to make that happen.
How is infrastructure different than stimulus?
Well, stimulus is a direct allocation of money to a person or a group of people in hopes of stimulating the economy immediately to backfill what you lost in an unexpected way. Infrastructure is a long-term investment that you can use over a long period of time. So the stimulus money put money in people's pockets when they couldn't collect a check because of COVID. Infrastructure is investing in concrete stuff, literally concrete, in some instances that can be used forever. And, of course, that means that it's going to take a long time. Some of it will come out the door right away. Some of it is going to take a long time. Everybody knows it's easier to tear something down than to build it. And especially if you're going to build it to last into the future, we're going to have to be fast but smart. We're going to have to make sure that everybody is included in the benefits and the responsibilities. And we're going to have to make sure we build it from as the president says, an equity lens.
So as you talk about that, so there's a lot of research, R&D that goes into this. You mentioned long. Does this go beyond the 4 years of the Biden administration? Does this go beyond 8 years? What does that timetable look like, sir?
Oh, it's actually, it's a sea change in the way America spends its money. You know, if you think about what we spent that money on in the last 20 or 30 years, in never-ending wars and tax cuts for the wealthy, basically the president's saying we ought to really start investing in ourselves and transfer that focus to making sure we strengthen ourselves at home. Because if we strengthen ourselves at home, we can actually protect ourselves abroad as well. And what that strengthening means is investing in the things that give each and every American an opportunity at a good paying job and also to a quality of life that's the result of the kinds of investments in fixing the roads and bridges and the airports. Listen, everybody understands and about what I'm about to say, that riding on a bad road is a pain in the butt. And the anxiety that you feel waiting in traffic, trying to get to your kid's school or trying to get your parents to the doctor, or just the quality of life that's lost by not being able to move, cost you more money, cost you more time. The same is true if the ports don't work, if the airports don't work. So this is something that's for everybody. However, it's also important to make sure that everybody's included. So, for example, on the broadband piece, you got lots of folks that live in the inner city and work in rural areas alike, black and white, by the way, that don't have access to the internet. Now, who in the world can compete in a 21st century economy if you don't have access to the internet? How do you actually think about building a new business? How do you think about going to school? How do you think about getting services from medical professionals that may not be located in your community? You can't do it. And so one of the things this bill does is say, look, we're going to put broadband everywhere in America. We're going to connect America. We're going to build a bridge from one part of America to the next so that we can all talk and all participate no matter where we live and make sure that high-speed internet is affordable. You can't win a 21st century battle over the economy unless everybody in America has access. The other one is making sure that everybody has opportunity, good paying jobs. And of course, most of the jobs that are going to be created as a result of this investment, to build bridges, to build roads, to relay pipe, to actually lay electric vehicle stations where cars can be plugged in. Mm-hmm. It's going to take people that are plumbers and pipe fitters and transportation operators, folks that don't necessarily need a college education to do that. The other thing, too, is, and this is just important to everybody in America, that kids in America drink clean water. Our kids shouldn't be drinking dirty water. That's self-explanatory. And so what's going to happen is there are investments in here to make sure that we change the pipes and reduce the risk of lead exposure. And then finally, you know, a lot of folks don't have cars and or getting to and from work on public transit. But, you know, the bus doesn't show up on time and you don't know when they're coming, or the bus that you get in is rickety. That's a real problem. And so, you know, for working folks, you need to fix all of that stuff to give them a leg up and to allow them to compete and participate in this 21st century economy that the United States wants to win in the world stage of competition.
Final question. We're just about out of time. Talk about, I know the president was just in the state of Minnesota going across talking about the infrastructure. What does this bill mean to people like in Minnesota, the people in Florida, people across the Midwest, across the country? What tangible will they be able to see that says, okay, yes, I understand infrastructure is working?
Well, the answer to your question is you're going to see it, you're going to touch it, and you're going to feel it, because you're going to see, for example, roads and bridges in Minnesota getting fixed. You guys got 661 bridges and over 4,986 miles of highway that are in poor condition. You got about, you know, your residents spending 50% of their time commuting, and 11% of your transit vehicles are past useful life. So you're going to see new ones there. 19% of Minnesota households don't have home broadband connection. And when you get it, you're going to know that you got it. You got an issue with your water in schools and in child care centers, and that's going to get replaced too. And then, of course, y'all know about bad weather, just like we do down in Louisiana. Y'all have had 11 extreme weather events costing up to $10 billion. The president says, if you're going to build stuff back, you know what? If the big bad wolf comes along and wants to blow stuff down, why don't you build it stronger and better? So it's not that easy anymore, because that's the result of climate change. You're going to see all of those things. But this is a long-term, deep-dive investment in the future of America. This is some of this stuff's going to happen fast, but at the end of the day, this is about betting on the future and investing in the future so that we can all have a great opportunity to win the fight for the 21st century economy.
All right. Mitch Landrieu, we got to leave it right there. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. See you.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
So glad that you would join us this weekend on New Beginnings, and it's my pleasure now to bring to you the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, Kitty Harris, who is doing a wonderful job at the center helping our seniors and to live a vibrant life. Kitty, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be with you.
We're at the end of the year, near the end of the year, but I'd like to go back and just explain to our audience what the whole purpose of the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is. I know the name says it, but it goes deeper than that.
Yes, absolutely. So the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, we're actually coming up on being, next year will be open 10 years. And so this center was created to basically be a healthy hub for the residents of North Minneapolis and the greater St. Paul area, to have a space where seniors in our community could come and engage in health and wellness activities, programs, services, a one-stop shop, basically, for the community, but basically centered around health and wellness and ensuring that it was accessible and affordable.
You've done a lot of things over the last 10 years, and I know that since I've known about the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center with this wonderful facility, you've done blood drives, you've done blood pressure checks, and even coming up now with COVID being all around us, you've not stepped away. The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center has not stepped away from trying to help people to live their best lives. You've got another clinic and booster opportunities coming up real soon.
Yes, of course. You know, we're still in the midst of this horrific pandemic, and we know that people are definitely tired of it. We're tired of it. We're ready to gather and have our residents and our community come together safely. And as these different variants emerge, we want to be present to ensure they help people. So we do. North Point Health and Wellness Center does offer flu shots annually. That's something that they've always done since they've been on site. But since we are coming onto this new wave of COVID-19, the center is partnering with the Lau Assistance Center and the Minnesota Department of Health to offer vaccine booster clinics. And so we kind of have a dual thing going on at the center. We're offering vaccine shots for those people who didn't have an opportunity to get it in the beginning and they finally gotten on board, but we're also offering booster shots for people that are saying, you know what, I'm vaccinated, but I want to get an extra layer of protection, and it is cold and flu season. So, of course, we do have flu shots on site as well. And so the best thing that people can do is give us a call, 612-344-2221. We will redirect them to the appropriate agency to get them information on these clinics. We're having these vaccine clinics on a weekly basis. The flu shots are available Monday through Friday at North Point Health and Wellness. And we just want to make sure that we continue to do our part as much as possible in having people have access to what they need.
So you do need an appointment for the clinics, for the booster, and for the vaccine itself?
For the vaccine clinics and the boosters, we do want you, because we're having them weekly and we do want to still follow guidelines, we want to make appointments. Past weekend, we did a two-day clinic where we served over 200 people in the community. And so as long as the community continues to call us and tell us that there is a need, we will continue to partner with resources and bring entities into the center in order to address that. If we're not having one on a particular week, we will direct the public to where we know one of our partners is having an event. We just basically want to make sure that anybody that wants a vaccine, anybody that wants a booster, anybody that wants a flu shot, we're helping them to get access to that.
That makes sense. So that telephone number again to get more information and be directed to one of the collaborative partners is what?
That telephone number is 612-344-2221. That's our main phone line. They can stop by the center at 1015 4th Avenue North and visit North Point Health and Wellness Center as well, or they can send us an email at hpscc@mplspha.org.
That's Kitty Harris, property manager for the Cora McGarvey Health and Wellness Center, and this is New Beginnings. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Almost toward the end of the book of Genesis, and there we find a much older Jacob. He was left alone at a stream or the ford of Jabbok and met a strange man there. And suddenly they began fighting and wrestling, and they fought all night. That stranger was an angel. And Jacob wouldn't let him go. And at the break of day, the angel said, "Release me, release me." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And so the angel said, "What is your name?" "Jacob." "From now on it will be Israel. For you have struggled with men and God, and you have prevailed." And so here, he gives this beautiful account that we too cannot give up on our difficulties, our strivings, our struggle, until we receive a blessing. We learn from it. The wonderful prosperity teacher, the minister who began a ministry in New York City, Georgiana Tree West, she was known for her most famous book, Prosperity's Ten Commandments. I won't go into that now, but she said she learned from a Unity teacher she didn't name, "Georgiana, if you're ever going through hell, make it pay." In other words, if you're going through a struggle, don't give up until you've had your realization, your awakening. Wow. I didn't realize I was so powerful. I didn't realize that I could courageously speak my truth before others that I consider more powerful. I didn't know how deep was my authentic character. Myrtle Fillmore liked to use another phrase from the letter of James in the Christian Testament. If you face a problem, count it all joy. Because if you stick with it, you will be strengthened. You will realize how much more power you have than you had previously thought. The struggle, just like the weights some of you may exercise with, there are resistance to your muscles that strengthens them. And so the challenges we have in life are those opportunities to strengthen our clarity of thought, the warmth of our compassion, the endurance of our will. So let's conclude with a few moments in the silence. You can create an image in your mind, just as Jacob did in his dream at Bethel, an image that you can carry from day to day to meet any obstacle, any challenge, even any wild celebration that may try to steal your attention or your focus from what is important to you. You can find a center in this image. So I invite you to close your eyes, to take a breath or two. To notice our physical breath helps us center here and now. Like our opening song, we ask Spirit to help us heal whatever needs to be healed, to reveal within our mind that which we need to know, that which we need to understand. I invite you to bring any distraction, challenge, any personality that is difficult for you to be around, perhaps someone at work, school, your neighborhood, this church, perhaps someone you're married to or related to, those closest to us sometimes can challenge us most deeply. Bring that circumstance or that individual to mind. I am willing for this obstacle, this difficulty to be removed. But the beginning of that process is to know that God is in this very place. God is in this difficult situation, relationship, challenge in your life. Whatever it is you face it with God. That means the absolute power of creation. Some people like to approach this idea from another direction and say, what would I do in my life if I knew I could not fail? The scriptures say, if God be for us, who can be against us? So whatever that challenge is, create a little image with the power of your mind. And then see that image, that challenge, radiant with the light of God's presence, filled with the power of God's covenant and promise to you. I did not bring you into this world to abandon you. I did not bring you in this world that you might be destroyed. I brought you into this world that you might express my glory, my good, my all possibility, my all-embracing love to yourself, to all others. Thanks be to God. And I invite you to gently allow your attention to return and work with that image in the coming days that you have created in your mind. If it was not clear to you, it will become clear over time. But you can always return to that essential idea. Wherever I am, whatever I face, God is. God is in my life. Not in a holy religious way, but as a powerful reality.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.